like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I want to first thank everyone who supported Talking Animals and me in last week's fun drive. I greatly appreciate it. And while we were fortunate enough to do well, overall the station fell a bit short of our goal. So if you missed last week's fun drive or perhaps want to support us again, you can just go to WMNF.org and hit the tip jar in support of any of the shows that you like and listen to and to keep things rolling along here at WMNF. Meanwhile, my guest today might be you. And you, and you. By which I mean we're inviting you to call in today and speak for a few minutes about an animal cause, organization, or event that's significant to you as leader, volunteer, advocate, what have you. For instance, many have been repulsed by revelations and undercover footage of the horrific treatment of dogs at Ingram's Sit and Stay Academy, a training and boarding facility right here in Tampa. Perhaps you'd like to address the Ingram situation or provide guidance on what we should look for in a training and or boarding facility. Presumably, everyone that left their dogs at Ingram's felt then that they would be well cared for. Or yet another angle, just on this story alone, that footage was shot and released by PETA, which for many animal lovers and advocates kind of muddies the waters, as it did when PETA conducted an undercover investigation this summer at Darlin's, the Polk City Pig Sanctuary, which resulted in the arrest of the proprietors and seizing the pigs and the other animals that were living there. So, in other words, what are your thoughts, pro or con, on PETA? Perhaps there's some other animal issues or news you'd like to address. Maybe we could discuss some good news in the animal world. For example, the judge stepping in to halt that controversial proposed pit bull ban in Montreal. By the way, author and past Talking Animals guest Brahma Dickey, the author of the incredibly widely acclaimed book Pitbull, wrote an excellent op-ed on this very matter in yesterday's LA Times. Or maybe the rescue or animal organization you lead or volunteer with has a fundraiser or an important event coming up soon that you'd like to tell us about. So I'm open to covering quite a bit of ground in the realm of animals and animal welfare. Here's the lowdown on how it will work. If you'd like to participate, you call 813-239-9663. I'll be taking these calls randomly and unscreened. So there are just two major ground rules to give more people an opportunity to participate. I ask that you please keep your calls brief, figure 2 to 3 minutes or so, maybe a hair longer in some cases. We'll just try to keep it tight and keep it moving. And please do not mention the price of a product, service, or event, even if it's free. You're welcome to start calling now, 813-239-9663. Let it ring. You should find yourself on hold. While the emphasis today will be on short phone conversations, we will consider incorporating email at dj@wmnf.org or text at 813-433-0885. Shorter messages stand a better chance of being read on the air. Right now, though, I'm going to play a short animal song. This is an old favorite by an old favorite, by which I mean this is the Eels. Thank you. Talking Animals, 813-239-9663 to participate in the show.
I can't look at the rocket launch, trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds. I don't care for walking downtown, crazy auto car gonna mow me down. Look at all the people like cows in a herd. Well, I like birds. If you're small and honest,
birds.
If you're small and on a search, I've got a feeder for you to perch on.
It's the Eels with I Like Birds. It's Talking Animals on WNF. Right now, let's speak with our guest or guests. That's you. And along the way, we mix it up. Maybe we'll reach into our stack of animal news, get a bit caught up in some of those things. Been a while since we've been able to dive into some animal news. So again, the number to call is 813-239-9663. We are chiefly looking to have phone conversations, but we will consider some short emails at dj@wmnf.org or text at 813-433-0885. Let's get started. It's Talking Animals on WMNF. Hi, you're on Talking Animals.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Duncan. It's Suzanne House.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I am terrific. Thank you. I'm just going to get into it quickly. I am with Florida Voices for Animals, which is a longtime listener and contributor to Talking Animals, and we really appreciate you. Florida Voices for Animals is a nonprofit organization made up of all volunteers from all walks of life who are dedicated to ending the exploitation and suffering of animals. And we do that by tabling at events like EcoFest here, Earth Day in Orlando, by protesting at the circus, the dog track, and at SeaWorld in Orlando. And we also put on Tampa Bay Veg Fest. And this year's Veg Fest will be November 12th, 10 to 5, Coton Show before Brook Park, and that is downtown Tampa. And we have guest speakers, healthy living, eco-friendly exhibitors, delicious food, animal rescue groups, food samples, cooking demos, live music, kids' activities, and film. And we invite everybody to go to Tampa Bay Veg Fest for more information and come down to Tampa Bay Veg Fest.
Great. All right, Susan, anything else you want to add? That covers a good amount of ground on Florida Voices for Animals and some of the Veg Fest coming up. Anything else that we should know about?
I just want everybody listening to know that they need to contribute to WMNF and to Talking Animals because it is really such an important show. It's very informative, and it's not just here in the area. It's nationwide, international. I listen to you I'm a flight attendant, and when I go out on trips to Europe, I go on your new app, and I listen to you there. You can get so much information from you and from WMNF. So everybody listening should contribute to the station.
Wow. Well, short of sounding like some sort of paid shill, that's very nice and flattering and great for all their comments on both Talking Animals and WNF at large. And, yeah, we do have a app, WNF app, for iPhone and Android, and you can listen to the programming, including archives, which is kind of a new wrinkle from our last app, and you can do all kinds of things, including donating from the phone app. So, yeah, we got you covered every which way. So thanks to them for calling Talking Animals and the kind words, and we'll look out for Veg Fest on November 12th.
And thank you for all you do, Duncan.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we are taking some random calls about, again, animal organizations, events, issues, things that have either caught your eye or gotten into your craw. We've got one texter who said, has the connection between Trump, quote unquote, Trump's grab and the quote unquote bonobo handshake been discussed anywhere? So, no, it has not thus far. Maybe it will be in the coming minutes. Want to also look ahead to October 16th is National Feral Cat Day. So there's 1,000 or so events, I think, worldwide tied to that. On a related note, wanted to remind you, we've talked about this a few times on the show, that the Humane Society of Tampa Bay received a grant to help spay and neuter outdoor cats. So by which they mean not only feral cats, but if you do tend a colony or know someone who does that is looking for some help with trapping, neutering, vaccinating, and returning, they can help in that regard. But even your own cat, if you have a cat that's sort of indoor-outdoor that has not yet been spayed or neutered, they can also help with that as well. So that's at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. Let's take our next caller. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Hello, it's you. Hello. Oh, okay. Well, we lost them. That's okay. So a couple other things in the news that may spur some conversation as well, which I found really interesting in the other day in the New York Times, especially that it was in the fashion and style section, as I recall. It was about, it's headline, Pets on Pot, the newest customer base for medical marijuana. Starts off when Lisa Mastromichi needed relief for her ailing tabby little kitty. She turned to an unlikely source, marijuana. At 12 years old, the cat had arthritis. For a long while, she spent her days hiding in a closet where Miss Matramiki had built her a bed of plush blankets. After trying various supplements that proved ineffectual, she went to a meeting. For Women Grow, an industry group for cannabis entrepreneurs, she was not sold on the idea right away. My concern was that it's not my place to get my cat high. Director of a public, she said, she's the director of a public access television network in Long Beach, California. But with little kitty becoming increasingly isolated, it was time to give it a try. She got a medical marijuana card and purchased two edible oils made for pets and derived from cannabis that she squirts into her pet's mouth. And little kitty doesn't hide anymore. In fact, she's more like her old self, sunbathing on the carpet, living room carpet, playing with the other cat, Valentina. When I've given it to her, she's never acted high. Comes out, socializes, wants to be in your lap, wants to be petted. Very noticeable difference. So we have done some shows on cannabis-related products for animals. If you have any thoughts or comments on that, 813-239-9663. And again, we are incorporating some emails at wmnf.org, or you can always text those, of course, to 813-433-0885. Hi, you're on Talking Animals.
Yeah, I saw that video that you were speaking of. Where was that? What was the name of the boarding out place?
That was called Ingram's. Let me get the full name. I think it's Ingram's Sit and Stay Academy.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, what is your name, first name, sir?
My name's Neil.
Neil? Just sort of describe your reaction. How did you first become aware of it, and what was your response?
I saw the video online, actually. My wife showed it to me, and I couldn't believe that, you know, somebody in that position would treat an animal like that.
So do you feel like sort of briefly describing what was on the video for those listening who may not have seen it just yet?
Well, what I saw was a woman that was restraining a dog. I thought maybe to groom it or something, but the way she wrapped the actual leash around the dog's muzzle and was just manhandling, just super tight, and you could tell the dog was crying and in pain.
Yeah, and I think there was other things where they were poking at animals that were in crates and
why would somebody like that treat in that position treat an animal like that? They were stabbing through the bars into the animal to calm it down or something. I couldn't believe that.
It was pretty disturbing. Now, Neil, let me ask you, do you have dogs and or cats?
I do, and we do board them on a regular basis. I have three dogs and two cats.
So before deciding on the facility for that boarding, what did you look for in particular? What was important to you that people might want to keep in mind, especially in the wake of this Ingram story?
Well, what I look for, I mean, is superficial because you can't really see how they, you know, treat the animals when you're not there, obviously. But, I use a place in Puerto Rico called Almost Home, and it seems like, you know, they take the dogs out for a walk and, you know, they say all the right things. You know, they have a big yard for the dogs to play with and everything, but it makes you wonder.
Well, I guess all you can do is as much homework and due diligence as possible. And obviously a lot of people get referrals from friends that have other experiences with these facilities. And
right, and that's how I got the name for that place, actually, was some friends of ours use it.
All right, Neil, anything else, either about Ingrams or generally that you'd like to mention?
No, that was it. I appreciate it. And like I said, thanks for all your hard work. You guys are great. It's a fantastic show.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Neil. Appreciate it. And we had a reference earlier by a text to so-called Trump grab. You wouldn't think you could necessarily bring Trump into an animal show. And yet, the Washington Post, by way of reporting on the Humane Society at least, brought Trump into its animal column, Animalia. So I'm going to read a little bit of that. Starts off, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is such a polarizing figure that he's inspired a record-breaking number of news outlets and several Republican public figures to back a Democrat for the first time or to make their first endorsements. Now, even America's animals are breaking their silence to voice opposition to Trump. Okay, not really the animals themselves, but last week, the lobbying arm of the nation's most prominent animal welfare group, the Humane Society, broke with its own tradition of not making endorsements by coming out in support of Democrat Hillary Clinton and releasing an attack ad against Trump, calling him a threat to animals everywhere. Unsurprisingly, the ad features the most familiar and derided animal-related image associated with Trump, a photo of his sons hoisting the carcass of a leopard they hunted in Africa. It also takes aim at Forrest Lucas, an oil tycoon who founded a farmers' advocacy group that fights animal rights organizations, and Bruce Rastetter, an Iowa agribusiness entrepreneur. Both are on Trump's Agricultural Advisory Committee and are among a who's who of zealous anti-animal welfare activists allied with the candidate, according to Humane Society Legislative Fund President Michael Markarian. Trump has a quote-unquote simple has assembled a team of advisors and financial supporters tied in with trophy hunting, puppy mills, factory farming, horse slaughter, and other abusive industries, Markarian wrote in a blog post announcing the Clinton endorsement. Another element to keep in mind, I guess, about the Trump candidacy. Again, this is Talking Animals. We've kind of set aside for today our traditional format of, I guess, with a long-form interview and often a short interview towards the end as well, to invite you to be the guest today. We're inviting anyone inclined to call in at 813-239-9663 to speak about an animal cause, an organization that you volunteer with or lead, an event that's significant to you, something that's been in the news of late that made you happy, some good news that you saw in the animal realm, something that maybe concerned you or bothered you. 813-239-9663. And again, we're taking some email at ej@wmnf.org, or you can text your thoughts or comments to 813-433-0885. So one of our emailers has a really good question. Do you know if there is a voter guide for people concerned about animal issues? I would like to find out more about some of the local candidates or where they stand on the bear hunt and other animal issues. So very good question. I don't know the answer to that offhand. I'm hoping someone hearing this question might call in at 813-239-9663 or email us ej@wmnf.org with information or maybe a website or a link. I'm sure there's some organizations that we have featured on the show that probably prepare at least on some local or regional basis that very information. So we'll hope to hear from them. But a great question. Okay, I was also that caught my eyes in the news. It's just hi, you're on Talking Animals on WMNF. Hello to you.
Hi, Duncan, it's Suzanne again. League of Humane Voters.org can tell this fella who to vote for.
Okay, cool.
As far as animal issues.
Great, great.
League of HumaneVoters.org.
And how broadly are they looking at candidates?
Well, that's what Marilyn Weaver works with.
Right. I'm surprised. I often hear from her when you do these kind of shows. I'm sort of surprised I haven't. Yeah.
She's so busy with Community Cats. I'll give her a call real quick and ask her if she can't call, but you can make that announcement about OHV.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye.
So, all right, to our emailer and others listening, leagueofhumanevoters.org can provide that information, and maybe we'll hear from Marilyn, who runs the Florida wing of that organization, and get some more specifics about how broadly their recommendations go in their voter's guide. Another thing that was interesting in the LA Times in the last day or two, the headline was, it's actually a front page story, I believe, called Battle Over Mayo. And when the egg industry or any of those sort of factory farming entities are threatened by plant-based entrepreneurial or other efforts, sometimes various measures are employed. And subheading of this story is the egg industry waged a secret campaign to crush an upstart vegan spread maker. So the piece begins with, its egg-free recipe, Just Mayo, had become a darling of vegans, a hot investment for Silicon Valley venture capitalists, and an avatar for alternatives to industrial agriculture. But to the nation's $7 billion egg industry, Just Mayo posed an existential crisis so serious that a federally supervised trade group launched a secret two-year campaign to thwart the San Francisco startup that makes it. It goes on to say, federal investigators did not find the campaign amusing, slamming the American Egg Board for overstepping its congressional mandate and chiding its overseers at the U.S. Department of Agriculture in a lengthy investigation that was quietly released on the agency's Freedom of Information Library page late Thursday. So you can find that story if you're intrigued. Yeah, LA Times carries that story again, Battle Over Mayo. Pretty interesting about what goes on behind the scenes, and especially when factory farming squares off against rising plant-based forces. Looking around, I found this just because it had a international bent, disturbing sort of bent at that, but relative to something very germane here in Florida and in other states as well. So this came from The Guardian, and it says, animal rights groups have reacted with shock and anger to the New South Wales Premier's announcement that he will reverse the planned greyhound racing ban in the state. Mike Baird signed off on the U-turn after a cabinet meeting on Tuesday. Claire Fryer, a campaign coordinator of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, that the decision was not just a terrible one for greyhounds, but also for democracy. She went on, the government has acted on speculation about their polling numbers and pressure from individuals who gain financially from this abusive industry and ignored the vast majority of New South Wales constituents who abhor the inherent brutality of greyhound racing, she said. The premier may think he is saving his political future, but they say fortune favors the brave, and in this case, Mr. Baird has shown he is anything but. Even far, far away, greyhound racing is its own controversial subject. Let's take another call. Again, we are taking calls at 813-239-9663. Today is your chance to be the guest on Talking Animals. We've spoken to a few folks, and we're hoping to speak to a few more. We've got some email here that we'll get to and text, and let's take another call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals on WMNF. Hello, it's you.
Oh, hello, Duncan?
Yes.
Duncan, it's Marilyn Weaver.
Oh, good. Hi, Marilyn. We were speaking about you, and we thought we might hear from you. So tell us.
Let me just explain. I haven't listened to your program because I was in pain. I had an incident trying to catch a kitten and threw my leg out.
Oh, geez.
So I haven't heard anything that was said yet today.
Well, let me ask you a specific question, if I could, then, because we had one of our emailer questions asked a great question, I thought, asking if there's a voter's guide for people concerned about animal issues, and saying, this emailer went on to say, I'd like to find out more about some of the local candidates and where they stand on the bear hunt and other animal issues. So I figured the League of Humane Voters, and in fact, Sudan called and said that there would be. But I'm just wondering if you could kind of give us a sense of how broad a scope the information is that the League of Humane Voters does present.
I am endorsing some people that have, in particular, fighting the bear hunt, but also the Humane Society of the United States Legislative Fund monitors every single one of our legislators and puts that on their website. So it covers the whole country, which, of course, I don't. I work on local stuff. So, yeah, I'll speak about both of those.
Okay, sure. Yeah, if you just give us a quick lowdown and any pertinent websites that people could find out more when they want to really zero in on some of the legislators in their area.
Okay, so I'll stay on the line right now, right?
Yeah, no, you're actually on the air right now, Marilyn. So please go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, hello, everybody. I'm hoping you're paying attention to this election because it's really, really very important. If you want help for animals, you really have to put laws in place to protect them. Otherwise, all the protesting you do and everything else doesn't amount to very much. It does call attention to the issue, but if there's no legislation to provide enforcement for anti-cruelty laws, you're just stuck. You just can't help the animals. So there are several places where you can go for information. One of them here in Florida is local, and it's called the League of Humane Voters. And we have a website, www.lohv-fl.org. And we check on those people that are fighting our local issues, such as the bear hunt, dog racing, various other things here. And then there's also the Humane Society of the United States Legislative Fund. They vet all the senators and congresspeople in the entire United States. So no matter where you live, you can find out who your local representatives in the House and Senate are and where they stand on issues. So those are two places you can go. And it's very important to attend town hall meetings and candidate forums and ask these questions. Ask them specifically, where do you stand on anti-chaining, which is a big local issue for us here. We've passed lots of legislation on anti-chaining of dogs. Dogs chained up forever outside and neglected. We just recently passed a trap, neuter, vaccinate, and return law known as TNVR. It's now legal in Pinellas County. It's been legal in Hillsborough County for quite a number of years. It's very effective. What it does is it addresses the overpopulation of free-roaming cats that are out there everywhere, even though you don't see them. They are there, and they are procreating and living miserable lives if they don't have people that are taking care of them. So now we have access to low-cost spay-neuter, and what we are trying to do is reduce that population, and it's very effective. It solves a lot of problems. So, yes, please go to the League of Humane Voters website, lohv-fl.org, and the Humane Society of the United States Legislative Fund, and check out those people you're voting for. And feel free to call their office and ask them where they stand on these things. You can do that. I do that all the time. And anytime there's an issue that you notice it's in the newspaper, call your local officials. Tell them how you feel and what you would like them to do for us. So do be an active voter and pay attention all year long, because you can't just learn everything while the election's going on.
Okay, Marin, well, that is some great information, and I'm sorry that you're a little bit down for the count. Of course, it happened in service of trying to help an animal, so that's
yes,
totally fitting. But we thank you for your ongoing commitment, and thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you. Thank you, Duncan. Remember, everybody, vote.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. Okay, hi, you're on Talking Animals. You're live on the air.
Hey, it's me. It's David.
Oh, hi, David.
Hey. One thing, I don't know if you've heard about it, but it hasn't made a lot of state or national attention, is the screw worm infestation of the key deer in the Florida Keys. And I find it really worrisome how it could affect the livestock and the wild animals if it's able to get beyond the Keys and could affect the whole southeast United States. But it's really a scary thing.
You know, I've seen just a brief account of that. It sounds like you're pretty steeped in it. Can you just give us a little bit of an overview, David?
Sure. Well, the larvae of the screw worm is really devastating, in the sense that usually larvae like that will only feed on dead flesh, but this feeds on living tissue. And so there's actually I believe a rather gruesome video of a deer from a few days ago that's getting consumed by those maggots, and it's worth a look just because it's so scary. And it's and in the past, you know, some Florida livestock, I don't remember, maybe back as recently as the 70s, the screw worms were really affecting the livestock and cattle in Florida. So yeah, I don't know, it feels like another ecological disaster, and we're being punished for Trump's being the RNC nominee this year. So
well, okay, that might be a big leap, but let me ask you this, David, since you obviously seem to have some expertise here, what sort of measures, if any, can be put in place to halt this phenomenon?
Well, one thing I read was that there, and I hope that this works as opposed to some nasty chemical pesticides, but using sterile screw flies and releasing them, and then just kind of wiping out the population because they can't reproduce.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, apparently they look like regular flies, but they're a different species, and they're just really devastating. I encourage your listeners to check it out and maybe raise awareness about it. Because when it came out, I think Hurricane Matthew was hitting, and I think that all the attention was on that. But it's something we have to keep an eye out for.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your call and filling us in. And, you've already raised some awareness. And, I'm going to dig in more deeply, and I'm sure others listening will do the same. So thank you again.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. So, hi, this is, again, Talking Animals. We are taking an assortment of callers and, in some cases, emailers and texters. The phone number is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. So we're just trying to give a broader voice to all kinds of folks who might not otherwise necessarily be on the show if they have information about an organization or an issue like David just mentioned, or information that people could help sort out if they're trying to make their voting choices based partly at least on legislative track record for animal welfare. So tonight, in a talk titled Conservation and Lowry Park's Zoo's Living Collection, Dr. Larry Kilmar, who's conservation and zoo director for Tampa's Lowry Park Zoo, will be speaking at Seminole Heights Public Library. That's at 4711 Central Avenue in Tampa, between Hillsborough and MLK, west of I-275, at the corner of West Osborne Avenue. Don't think it says a time here, but the Sierra Club meeting. And for more information, including the time, you can email kent.bailey@florida.sierraclub.org. Kent.bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, @florida.sierraclub.org. So let's see, they had some other information I wanted to go over with you that's also intriguing news stories. And this is by way of today, if I'm not mistaken, is National Pet Obesity Awareness Day. A lot of days get dubbed one thing or another, but more than 58% of cats and nearly 54% of dogs in the U.S. are considered overweight or obese. Of the dogs and cats listed in the survey that the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention recently did, actually a few years back, I guess. The dogs listed in the survey, more than 30% of cats and 20% of dogs were described as obese. So, just a cautionary note there for those who have dogs and or cats living with you at home. And I want to mention a couple other WMNF things while we have an opportunity. Thanks to our generous Circle of Friends members. If your credit card has changed, please contact Gene Moore at 813-238-8001. Please consider moving your contribution to a checking account deduction, and you'll never have to worry about credit cards. It's easier for us all. Thank you. So one of our emailers makes a very good, clear point. Says, hi, Duncan. Another good way to do good to find a good boarding facility is to ask your veterinarian. So very good, Bob. Thank you for that. And another texter says, I just visited Big Cat Rescue. I'm surprised I haven't heard anybody call from there. What a wonderful educational facility this is. I encourage everybody to go check out why they have to be in the first place. Maybe something got cut off there from their text. But yeah, Carol Baskin has been a guest multiple times on the show over the years, and they do a lot of good work not only at the facility, but they're speaking of legislative efforts, they are very involved in all kinds of legislation, not only to protect big cats, but they get involved with other things too, and they go to conferences. In some cases they're sponsors of conferences to help really get the word out. So both Carol and Howard Baskin are very pivotal in things well beyond the facility itself here with all those big rescued, abused, and abandoned cats that they look after. So, and this update from the Sierra Club meeting tonight, it's 6:30 social time, and then 7 o'clock membership meeting and the program itself with that lecture. So thank you for that update. This is Talking Animals. Again, if you're just joining us, we are doing something a little different. We try to do it every year or so, which is instead of having a long-form interview and often a short interview towards the end of the show, we're inviting folks to call in, or in some cases email or text, with anything they might like to tell us about an animal organization that they're involved with, that they volunteer with, that they run, or any animal issues or causes that they'd like to discuss. Maybe there's an event, fundraiser, benefit, etc. coming up that we should be aware of. 813-239-9663 or WMNF.org. dj at wmnf.org for the email. And again, the text number is 813-433-0885. Meanwhile, coming up at 11 on WNF, it's Rob Lori and Radioactivity rolling into the noon hour. It constitutes a full 2 hours of interviews, phone calls, news, and more with contributions from members of the stellar WMNF staff. In a moment, we'll probably get to Name That Animal tune. Let's take a call now. Hi, you're on the air live on Talking Animals. Hello.
Yeah, I just had a question about people that keep geese. I kind of was concerned about, I can understand how come people keep chickens, you know, for the eggs and domesticated and all that, but why do people keep geese in pens?
And may I ask your first name, sir?
Yeah, it's Ed.
Ed? And where do you live that, I take it there's neighbors or others nearby that are keeping geese?
Well, I work for a landscaping company, and one of the properties by where we work out in the country, they have a pen there, you know, I can see when I'm mowing, and I can see geese in this little pen, big geese. I'm talking about geese that are huge, and they're always honking and everything, and they're in these little pens, and I've seen them there for a year or two, and I'm just kind of concerned. I was just wondering, why would people keep geese in pens?
Would hate to speculate. I mean, I hope it's not tied to foie gras or anything like that. What area do you go where you see these pens, Ed?
They're out about in the county there, in Pasco County.
Okay, so, all right. But is it more than one location? It sounds like it might be multiple places you've seen.
No, it's just one location that I see, but I'm sure there's other locations where people keep geese.
Yeah.
I just was wondering, why would anyone want to keep a geese in a pen? Especially, you know, a geese is a big bird.
Right.
I mean, these geese are really big, and every time I go there, I really feel sorry for the geese because they're in the pen, you know, and they're honking, you know, how they make that noise, but I don't think they ever let them out of the pen, you know, and I always wonder, why would anyone want to keep geese in a pen for the egg, I guess, or...
Well, maybe, hopefully before the end of our time here in the next few minutes, maybe someone will call in or email in with some possible explanations for that. So, Ed, meanwhile, I thank you.
I'd like to hear what people would have to say about that, because it's always been discerning to me to see these big geese in these pens, and... You know, they got chickens in the pens too, but the pens are like maybe 10 foot by 10 foot. You know, and they got a top on them, keep them out of the sun. But you know, there's no room. A big geese like that to be in a pen like that and have them out in the country there, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I always thought that was like cruelty to animals, but maybe there's a good reason why people do that. I don't know.
It's hard to
hear what people got to say.
Yeah, maybe we'll hear some. If not, maybe we'll find out something between now and next week, and we'll report back on that if we do. So thank you again for your call, Ed.
You're welcome, Duncan. Bye.
Hi, you're live and here on Talking Animals.
Yes, hi, this is Marilyn Weaver again. I was negligent in mentioning something very important that I'm sure your people wanted to hear. When I talked about the free-roaming outside cats,
right.
I forgot to mention that there is now a new organization in Pinellas County called Meow Now, and that's Managing and Ending Overpopulation Wisely. That's what Meow stands for. And what this organization is doing, and in full disclosure, I have to mention I'm on the board of directors, what we're doing is going out and trapping these cats, getting them spayed and neutered at low-cost clinics, and then returning them back home to their homes. And when we catch the kittens, what we do is we get them ready for spay-neuter, and after that, we get them adopted. They're put in shelters for adoption. So we are really working on solving that problem. And since we're new, a lot of people don't know about us. So I encourage people to go to Meow Now's website and ask for help in getting these cats fixed or volunteering for us, because we need trappers, we need people to help with transportation, we need fundraising. Yes, that's a biggie. We need money to do this. And our website is www.meownowflorida.org.
Great.
And there's organizations in Hillsborough County that do this as well. The Humane Society of Tampa Bay has a great trap, neuter, vaccinate, return policy. So this helps out there, people, and I was negligent in not mentioning that.
All right. Well, thank you for calling back to correct the record, Marilyn. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is, again, Talking Animals. We're going to try to squeeze in at least one more call. Hi, you're on the air live on Talking Animals.
Hello, this is Bill from Pinellas. Is this me?
This is you, Bill.
Hey, great show. Hey, I have a couple possible explanations. Perhaps it's a special breed of geese that might be somewhat endangered, and it's a protection from other predators, such as coyotes or something, is why they're penned up, you know, for their own safety.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's a breeding thing where, you know, it's a specific species of geese that maybe they're trying to repopulate.
Yeah, just well...
a couple of ideas.
Right, Bill. In fact, as you were speaking, a text came in that said maybe it's a geese rehab.
Yeah.
Now, from the way Ed described the pens there, it didn't sound like it was gigantically humane or that there was much room for these geese, but let's hope there's a...
I can't comment on that because I haven't seen the pens.
Right.
But, you know, and especially if they're already domesticated enough. I mean, birds have personalities. They can be imprinted on humans. There's that guy that flew from Canada all the way down to, I forget what part of the U.S., like a paraglider thing. And these geese followed him all the way because he was already imprinted. They were imprinted on him, you know, and he taught them how to migrate. So you never know.
Right.
But,
okay.
At least somebody like you is bringing attention to things of this matter, you know, of this magnitude. And I wish that I had had money to send in during your fund drive because I love the station. I love everything about it and all that you guys do. Keep up the great work. I love you.
All right.
And
well,
hey, thank you to all the other listeners that pledged because I could not.
Well, that's great. That's sort of the idea, and maybe when you're able to, you'll pick up the slack for somebody else. So thank you so much, Bill.
I
appreciate all your comments.
Thank
you. Okay, you too. So we have just about reached the end of Talking Animals. I want to quickly read one other email just because we're really trying to work an array of topics and things in today. And so one says, here in Canada and in many locations, putting out bait for bears before and during hunting season is legal. Since human food is always used, stale donuts and popcorn are common. It seems to me to actually be training bears to come to human food sources, yet no one seems to realize this. In the spring, females and cubs are not legal trophies here, yet they are attracted and come to bait stations. They can smell it from miles away. So in fact, it is not causing problem bears, which is a main reason it is always used for the hunts. In other words, I think she means to rationalize the hunts. So perhaps another way to fight the hunts is to fight the practice of baiting. And indeed, some places there's legislation that deal first with the baiting and sometimes either in addition or separately with bear hunts themselves. So very good point. And it's nice to have an international element to this as we sort of near the end of our time. So we have reached just about the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. It's time to play Name That Animal Tune. This is a giveaway, but please only participate if you haven't won something from WNIF in the last 90 days. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals t-shirt, to the first person who calls in 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. Animal song by an animal band, if that gives any clue. We'll take any guesses that might come in off the air, because we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwachee, and beyond. Community Conscious Radio, thanks for listening. Thanks for all who called in and participated. Rob Laura is up next with Radioactivity. We'll see you next Wednesday on Talking Animals. Thanks.